This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
I don't know if I've shared this with anybody, but I knew I was retiring when we played in Buffalo. The Giants were playing there. It was a game where it was really controversial because one of the guys held me at the end. They didn't call it. It was in the first quarter of the game. We were running like this counter lead running play, and I'm kind of like leading through the hole like I'm a fullback, and the play is working. But I sit down on the sideline after like a drive where we ran like three times, and I'm like, what am I doing with my life? I'm out here playing fullback. I don't even want to do this anymore. And I'm just like looking at the moon. It's like early first quarter, second quarter. Nobody else would really even know that I'm thinking this, but I'm on the sideline like, yep, I'm going to finish this year to the best of my ability, but I'm definitely done playing.
That is Darren Waller.
Who hasn't just once in a while just looked up at the moon?
I love that. We're all at the stadium. I remember that game. You know, the Bills win it against Tyrod and the Giants, and it was one of those ones where they win and we're mad because the offense looks like everything is hard.
14-9.
And meanwhile, during that game, Darren Waller looked at the moon and said, I'm retiring. Joe Marino joining us on the Western Hotline. Joe of the Locked On Bills podcast. Joe, you ever look at the moon and think about retirement? You know, I mean, it's just like Darren Waller.
I'm not sure I've been there. Maybe one day I'll get there.
Yeah.
That was only week six, too. Yeah. Like, he played the rest of that season.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, Darren Waller's back for the Dolphins. Joe and I spent a little time talking about him, kind of remembering his career, and he was mildly productive in that final season with the Giants, and here's Miami pulling Waller out of retirement. He had had an off-field injury scare and kind of lost his love of the game. I don't know. Like, I'm sure there's plenty of feeling of a desperation move here for Miami. It is basically free. But welcome back, Darren Waller, who the Bills presumably will see twice.
Yeah, it's hard to really get good expectations for what Darren Waller is going to do this year as a player that retired, like you mentioned. He's obviously into his 30s now. It's been a while since he's been a big-time impact player in the league. So, obviously, the need's pretty big for Miami at tight end and trading away Jonnu Smith and what they had in his replacements, Farrell Brown and another like depth player that's been there for a few years, Julian Hill. But it's quite the pivot because that Jonnu Smith role was really important for them last year, and I thought it opened up a lot for their overall offense, kind of having a third guy established to go with Waddle and Hill. And it says this doesn't feel like an upgrade in Eddie Veeds. I don't really know what to expect from him.
Yeah, it's so strange, like to have found money there in Jonnu Smith and what he really gave to them, and then to just say goodbye. You know, Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast. Of course, we're always talking about the teams in the division. Miami has been a challenger for the Bills a couple of years, but come up short. The general feeling on Miami, Joe, if we could just stick here for a minute, is everybody seems to think, what are they doing exactly? The trade of Ramsey, I guess it got sour. The trade of Smith, they don't want to pay him. Their coach is back for another year. Tyreek Hill is concerned so much with Noah Lyles and racing. Like, Miami is very much in a what-are-they-doing spot, and I'm not sure if you think Minka Fitzpatrick solves any of their problems either.
No, I don't think Minka solves anything. I say that's a bigger return than I was expecting for Ramsey. I thought they would trade Ramsey for, like, a fifth-round pick, so getting Minka Fitzpatrick back and what that can mean for their safety room, I think, is a big deal. But obviously, corner is just a massive concern, and they've got some cap space, so they'll probably sign somebody that's hopefully for them, a functional starter. But this is definitely a peculiar year for Miami, and it certainly feels like, based on the choices they've made with the investments in the offensive line with James Daniels and Larry Borum, and they traded up for Jonas Savianaya, and then they added a couple of bigger backs in Ollie Gordon and Alexander Madison. You know, I think this team wants to become more inside run oriented, kind of a pivot you saw from Sean McVay and the Rams a few years ago, where everything was wide zone, pushing the perimeter, and then the Rams pivoted, and they got some bigger physical interior offensive linemen, some bigger backs, and started to really incorporate that. And so, you know, I think that's where they want to go. I think they want to be a more physical downhill run team, and then obviously get their passing game going. It's still about Waddle and Hill, but last year that Jonnu Smith role in some ways was to overcome some of the deficiencies running the football, where they just didn't have the blocking talent on the edges to be a consistent offense that runs the ball. And I think they've made some personnel changes to kind of get them in a better position to do that. But my questions with Miami are really on defense. I think their offense is going to be fine. If Tua is healthy, there'll be a good offense. But defensively, what do they have in that secondary? A corner is just a big black eye. They're counting on Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips to come back from injury. They really didn't do anything last year, either of those players. Still very young on the defensive line outside of Zach Sealer on the interior players. So they got some stuff to figure out there defensively, and they'll have to coach above their talent to be a team that is in the mix for the playoffs, but could blow up. And yeah. I feel like there's certainly not a lot of good momentum there in Miami.
Real quick, back to Waller for a moment. If he's healthy, will that work? I mean, is that the type of tight end this run game needs? I mean, here he is talking about knew he wanted to retire when they were putting him in at fullback to block. I mean, that's a – I feel like that's a troubling sign that he left the game because of that. And if you're Miami that has a tight end, that wants a tight end to run block, you might not be getting that.
No, not at all. Darren Waller is not going to help at all with the run blocking. He's a move tight end, right? He's a flex player that – probably more of a big slot than anything, even different than Jonnu Smith. I think of Jonnu Smith is more of a wing type player, kind of attached offset player, where Waller's not really going to help you in inline formations with the blocking, right? So to me, this also signals that Miami wants to get back to more 11 personnel and maybe like that would get away from what I was kind of getting to with being less of an outside zone crack toss oriented run scheme and be more of an inside run team that relies less on your perimeter blockers and more on your interior guys where they have some bigger players. And then, you know, you want to be able to space the field a little bit with formational width by having more spread formations. And then that's how you maximize Darren Waller when you have the speed elements of Hill and Waddle. So I think that's kind of the vision for their offense, but no, Waller specifically does not help their run game in any way, shape or form.
Joe Marino on the Locked On Bills podcast joining us here on WGR. 3 weeks out from camp, the Steelers side of it, Jalen Ramsey and also getting Jonnu Smith. You know, the Steelers here, they are loading up, Joe, and the Bills will play Pittsburgh once. What is their ceiling, do you think, on this one-year Aaron Rodgers experiment?
I think they can probably – I mean, this is a team that's had worse quarterbacks than Aaron Rodgers, worse offensive lines than they have right now. And I would say worse defenses than they have right now and still win 9 or 10 games and get to the playoffs and lose a game. So I think that their roster is in pretty good shape. I don't love Aaron Rodgers at all at quarterback, and I think he somewhat limits the team. But can he be better than Kenny Pickett? Can he be better than Mason Rudolph and I mean, they're trying to just figure it out. Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, I think he can be, you know, something like that. And with the elevated offensive line and the young pieces they have there, and I think their defense is pretty loaded, especially in the front. I think they're going to be a good team. I worry about Aaron Rodgers and whether or not he can just play his part. And I think that's been a challenge for Aaron Rodgers in his last two healthy seasons, was just playing his part and understanding how his game has to evolve based on some of his physical limitations. I still think the arm's there. I think he can make really good, accurate throws. But what made Aaron Rodgers a special player was how he can move within the pocket and extend plays and use his arm arrogance to do stuff. But I don't think he has the type of twitch and movement skills in the pocket anymore to do that. So can he just run the offense? And now you're looking at an offense that has these three tight ends and Washington, Freiermuth, and Jonnu Smith, a big receiver in Metcalf. Calvin Austin's kind of coming on. Like, Arthur Smith is the play caller here. There's going to be a lot of design stuff and play action and building off of the run concepts and a lot of, you know, you involving the backs and tight ends and some quick passes. Like, will he just do that, or will he want to kind of play off script the way that we've seen him his last two healthy seasons? I think it's a big wild card. But Jeremy, I think you've convinced me, if Pittsburgh goes to the playoffs and wins a game, I think that'd be pretty successful for kind of what the narratives have been out of Pittsburgh the last several years.
It would definitely rehab both Rodgers and Tomlin in their current versions, which you know, both have been thought to be great. Both are probably Hall of Famers, but right now they might need each other to just get a little bit of a positive pub out of each other.
Yeah, I agree. And I always wonder, like, what is the ownership think of Mike Tomlin? You know, is it different than what we do? Is there some grace for not necessarily giving him a quarterback? How much blame does he get for the miscalculations at quarterback, but still being able to get the team to winning records in the postseason? Like, it's there's some tough layers there, but obviously the most important thing in the league is quarterback play, and they just haven't had it. And so on one hand, I don't expect him to go win playoff games with Mason Rudolph and Russell Wilson at this point in his career. And do I give Tomlin a lot of credit for being there? Yeah, I mean, in some ways, yes, but how much criticism does he get for not getting the quarterback piece right? And it feels like he's had a role. I mean, Trubisky, miscalculation. Kenny Pickett's a miscalculation. Russell Wilson, miscalculation. It's been pretty bad. And even late-stage Ben Roethlisberger really was tough to watch, but they still won games. So the credit-blame piece of Mike Tomlin can get a little complicated.
It really would feel like they'd have to get that AFC South matchup in the first round, wouldn't it? Because I they could pull off, any team could pull off, it's the NFL, but nobody, I think, would envision them going to Kansas City or come here and win a playoff game like that.
Yeah, or Baltimore. I think if you're not Buffalo, Kansas City, or Baltimore, your whole objective in the AFC is to be the 5 seed and go play in Houston. Yep. Right, that's what you want to happen, and hope that Houston doesn't take advantage of that bad division and wind up winning 12 games and being a top 3 seed in the conference. I think that's what the story is in the AFC. And Pittsburgh, I think, can Pittsburgh be the 5 and go beat Houston? Sure. You know, and I think that'd be a great year for them if that's what they can do. I don't think they can go any further, but I think that would be successful. I think that would, like, turn around some things with how Tomlin's perceived, and Rodgers certainly – I don't think many people think fondly of what's happened to him over the last few years. And I think if he goes out like that, I think that'd be a solid ending.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. All right, Joe, we are 3 weeks away from the start of training camp. You know, we're getting there. Wednesday, 3 weeks from today, we'll be at St. John Fisher. What is the number one thing you are eager to see, you know, in the first couple practices? Like, if you're there and you get to go watch a position group or go watch any one thing, what's the thing you would be most interested to see when you get there?
Yeah, I could say so many things, but you want me to pick one thing. I think I want to watch the corners. I want to see what type of comfort Maxwell Harrison has in his assignments. I want to see what type of athleticism Trey White has, if he winds up having to start games this year, you know, what type of comfort exists there. I'm curious about, like, Dorian Strong and what type of ability he shows. Jordan Hancock, I want to see what the role is going to be as this, like, hybrid slot safety player. You know, I think that's where my eyes are going to be. Cole Bishop's development is probably the secondary.
Yeah.
I could talk myself into D-line. I certainly want to see these receivers. want to see Kincaid, but it's probably the corners with the investments, overall investments in that secondary, and see how it's coming along.
You know, to pick between the D-line and the corners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Would you be, I don't know, like confidence is one or variables of range of outcomes? I feel like what they've done on the defensive line, I expect that to be a pretty good solid unit. I feel like Bosa, if healthy, along with, you know, the pieces they added in the draft and Michael Hoyt and Ogunjobi once they get back, they've got veterans there, right? It's not a bunch of kids hoping to figure it out. So that might lead me to be a little more confident that that'll be good to go. But I don't know. That doesn't really have to be true. Would you have confidence up front that they're going to be a better unit than last year just based on the sheer volume of changes that they made?
Yeah, they really should. And, I mean, you think about what's departing. It's 36-year-old Von Miller and then three north of 30 defensive tackles and Austin Johnson, Jordan Phillips and Quentin Jefferson, and all four of those guys are still looking for work. And that's what you said goodbye to while you welcome in, draft picks, established veterans. I feel like that should be in good shape. I mean, my goodness, with all the investments there, we cannot be having conversations next January and February about where was the defensive line impact. They've done the things that they needed to do to give themselves a chance to avoid that conversation. I think more of the uncertainty probably comes from the secondary, and obviously the secondary will benefit from what happens up front with their ability to wreak havoc and create pressure and create sacks and force pressured throws. But yeah, I think there's a little bit more uncertainty with how the secondary comes together.
What about Milano for you, Joe, and linebacker at training camp and into the preseason? He might not play in the preseason, but the range of outcomes that we could get from him, how wide do you kind of consider that to be? Seeing him at the end of last year, but he also dealt with injuries and finally gets a full healthy offseason. I don't know, how wide do you think it is from the best case scenario for his 25 season to the worst case scenario?
Well, I think we saw him steadily improve upon his return last year. That gives me a lot of encouragement. I don't think it's going to be an issue of if he's available to play, right, and he's not injured, like, and can't play. I think he's going to be at least as good as he was at the end of last season. I'm not super concerned that there's been athleticism zapped out of him. You know, we've seen plenty of linebackers that are playing into their mid to late 30s, and Milano's going to be 31 this year. He's not that old. I think he'll be okay. It's just a matter of how durable can he be, because if he's available, I have a level of confidence that he can go out there and be an impact player for the defense. It's just, can he avoid something that's going to keep him off the field? And I think that's where my concerns lie. So if Milano can go, I feel good about what he can provide. It's, can he go, right? Is there going to be something along the way that keeps him on the sideline? And I think that's where the impact would be lost. It'd just be due to availability. If he's on the field, I have a level of confidence in Matt Milano and what he can get done for this defense.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, joining us here on the Western Hotline, 3 weeks out from training camp. I know, Joe, one of your newest episodes you put out was about Joe Brady and wrinkles to the offense. And Joe and I here got in a conversation about Kincaid earlier. It kind of just flew off of the Waller return to the NFL. Is Kincaid someone you feel like Brady can get a lot more out of than he has?
Yeah, 100%. And I think you start with acknowledging that per route run last year, Dalton Kincaid was the most targeted tight end in the NFL. Like, the Bills want to throw him the ball. And he's had two seasons of really good route running metrics in terms of separation rates and two really good seasons of yards after catch metrics. So it really just comes down to, can Josh Allen and Dalton Kincaid develop the chemistry that's necessary to maximize the opportunities that exist for Dalton Kincaid? And I think, of course, Dalton Kincaid needs to be durable and available and be stronger, right? Have the functional strength that the team's kind of called him out now for a couple of years on. You know, that's what needs to happen. But ultimately, the opportunity is certainly there. And the role last year really was different. His average depth of target increased by 2 yards. Compared to the previous year. So I like where it's going, the idea of where it's going, if you will. It's just a matter of becoming more consistent with the outcome of the opportunities that he gets, which is partly on him. It's partly on Josh Allen. But I think as things become more stable, there was so much turnover last year with the offense. And I think that entering this year with really no turnover, I mean, you pretty much just say goodbye to Cooper and Hollins. You say hello to Palmer and Moore, and everything else is the same. Like, even the depth, the coaching staff, it should put this team in position to hit the ground running. And, you know, I was actually recently going back and referencing a lot of the notes that I took throughout the course of last season. And last year, that team, third downs was not very good. They were running like 11 less plays per game than they were the previous season. And by the end of the year, the offense normalized and figured itself out. And so I think this offense is so much better equipped to hit the ground running this year. And it's no longer, you know, Dalton Kincaid stepping in and there's a million vacated targets. You know, I think there's a little bit more of an understanding of what everyone's going to need to do. And I think they'll hit the ground running a lot better than they did last year.
You also did a show building the Bills quarter century team. What did you find is the toughest position to decide on for that?
That's, well, I guess maybe linebacker, because one thing that was pretty revealing to me is that the Bills haven't had a ton of like linebackers that were very long tenured players. It was 4 years of London Fletcher and 3 years of Takiyo Spikes and, you know, Preston Brown for 4 years, but it wasn't even that good. You know, so it's like I wind up picking Matt Milano and London Fletcher, and London Fletcher was only like a 4 year answer for the team. And I guess that's a decent tenure for the Bills or for any team, right? Or for any player. But I just felt like that was the one position where it's like, man, there's not like a true anchor here where you've had 8-10 years of really good play. So it's just a lot of different guys sneaking in. Kawika Mitchell, you know, had his moment in the sun. So I guess that was probably the spot.
Yeah, because you had 4 years since for like four different. I mean, Paul Posluszny is 4 years, right? Like, right. It's just 4 years, 4 years, 4 years. Yeah.
Joe and I talked about this, the quarter century team, and there's one spot we disagreed, and, you know, whatever. Honorable mentions, I'll ask you, Sneaky Joe.
Uh-huh.
Well, who are the two defensive ends should be on that team?
The two defensive ends
on the Bills, all quarter century team. Who'd you pick?
Schobel and Mario.
Okay. All right. Well, we have a complete – this is perfect.
I thought about that for 3 seconds, though.
That's fine.
Yeah.
He went Schobel and Jerry Hughes.
Uh-huh.
You went Schobel and Mario. For me, Mario has to be on the list because he was, I mean, borderline dominant.
It's a peak versus longevity conversation here. Because does Hughes play more than double the games that Mario Williams does? But I remember, Joe, I think it was maybe in Hughes' last year where he finally passed Williams on, like, the sack list. So, but again, like, if you're going for someone who made an impact over a long period of time, I'm not going to argue hard against anyone that wants to put Jerry Hughes on there.
Yeah, I think that's where the disagreement came. And I don't have an argument for it. I mean, if you want to go with who had the most dominant stretch, I mean, it was the first three years of Mario Williams. And I think that's a heck of a case. But I leaned into the longevity. I mean, there was a point in time where he was, for many years, the longest tenured player on the team and had a good run. But nope, he wasn't as dominant as Mario was for those 3 years.
Part of Schoble's, I don't know, mystique is that he retired and he just disappeared, right?
Never to be heard from again.
If they rolled out Aaron Schoble as legend of the game this year, right?
Like, oh, it'd be crazy. I remember just one point Mike or Chris asked Eric Wood about it. I was like, I don't think I've talked to him. Yeah. Since like we played together,
he's just gone. So anyway,
the other mystique is I think his best stat is he has the most sacks on Tom Brady ever.
All right,
I think he still has that title. He had it at one point. So I'll look that up.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. He also does the Bills Squad Show with me and Jerry Ostrowski every Monday and Thursday. That's part of the Bills. It's part of the Locked On Bills channel. You can stream that on YouTube. We talked about that Mario conversation. And I kind of inadvertently found my way to Mario and Diggs being the exact same. Three dominant years. Year four, it starts to go south and people change the way they think about and it's over.
At least with Diggs, it was 3.5 years.
Okay. Mario was three.
But it's close enough.
Mario was first team and second team all pro in back-to-back seasons. And then year four, it's Rex is dropping him into coverage. He had 5 sacks. Then he's
it was ridiculous.
Then he's out of the league.
Yeah, 1 year with Miami. And then it was over. First team all pro, 2 more years with 6.5 sacks combined.
And done.
And it's done. Yeah. So he had in 4 years, 43 sacks.
For the Bills.
So that is in...
So 3 years.
63 games, 43 sacks. Yeah. Right?
And just go the first 3 years, the numbers are... eye-popping. He was great.
Right, but even if I include the bad year, 43 and 63, whereas Jerry Hughes had 53 sacks in 144 games.
Yeah.
He played 80 more games.
And then 5 more sacks?
10 more sacks.
10 more sacks, okay, yeah. 803-0550. Good stuff. You can check out, of course, the Locked On Bills podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, including right in the Odyssey app.
Schoble does have the most sacks on Tom Brady still. Well, still. He has it forever now, I think.
Are you ready for the new Tom Brady dating rumor? Did you see who it is?
Yes. This came out of the 3-day Jeff Bezos wedding.
Yes. Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah. That's the rumor.
All right.
Brady.
803-0550 to join us if you'd like to.
Just won't leave us alone.
He's just at a wedding.
I hope Rogers is true to his word. He's just going to disappear off the... into the forest.
Rogers is secret married.
I still don't think I believe that he's actually married.
I don't know.
Yesterday, did you see the pictures of him in a Steeler uniform? Very conspicuous. Like his new threads for Aaron Rodgers. They cut off the picture right above his finger. Maybe that's normal, but maybe I'm going way too far with him. Like he wants people talking about, is he actually married? Is he not married?
I don't know if he is. I did read the full Yahoo article about whether or not he might be or might not. I don't know.
Well, if he's not, it's incredible. Right?
To have claimed that he is?
He didn't claim that he was. He just said, I'm wearing a wedding ring. Right? I don't think he actually claimed he got married.
He said he got married.
He did?
Yes, he said he got married.
I'm going to look at the quote again, but I'll believe you. I thought he did the whole, I didn't actually say it this way thing. Left himself an out. Maybe not, though.
803-0550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.